If you're like me and you're torn between the love my body at any size movement and the if I love my body, I need to make healthier choices to feel good too thought process, then you're in the right place. It's every day now that someone out there is telling us the next best thing on TikTok or Instagram ads or showing us another shortcut, and it is exhausting. How about we heal our relationship with our bodies, exercise and food, and give ourselves grace along the way? Let's do this together and celebrate the small stuff. Welcome to A Healthy Dose with Sadie Tolberg. Oh, dreadful dieting. Yuck. Nobody likes the word diet anymore. Nobody wants to diet anymore. It is just turned into kind of a trigger word, a word that people are just not interested in being about anymore. And I totally get it, with good reason. The term diet is just what you eat. It turned into a term that is about weight loss, that is about restrictive and some things that you can or can't eat because you are dieting. And so sometimes people will refer to the celiac disease when they can't have gluten as that's a diet. Like, I'm on a gluten-free diet. Like, it's turned into that, you know, it's a bad thing. And I mean, really, when we go back to kind of the root cause of what that is that people wanted to lose weight. A lot of it really had to do with losing body weight, aka fat. And how much has that evolved and changed in the last several decades? And where did it kind of like come from? Because you don't hear about, you know, the Renaissance style people going on diets. Like, you know, back then I remember hearing the heavier women were a sight of luxury because they could afford lots of food and they wanted their ladies plump. And I was like, I was born in the wrong century. Although I'm way too independent to be able to have lived through that time frame, but basically it came from somewhere, right? So, just a couple of historical highlights here. There've been, you know, wars throughout the 1900s, right? We had World War I, then we had World War II. We had, the recession or the, not the recession, but the, why can't I think of that word? That's going to happen every once in a while. I've actually been pretty good about not forgetting words, but the Great Depression, that's where I'm going at. So there's been events and episodes like that, where, you know, food was not around all the time because there were more important resources to be handling. And there were different dynamics with like a lot of the breadwinners of the family off to war and things like that. And so after World War II in the 1950s, that's where a lot of that like Susie Homemaker kind of lifestyle began. The whole women stayed at home, raised the children, and had everything sparkling, perfectly clean. And then they spent all day baking and creating all of these foods. Well, also during that time, TV dinners started to become a thing and packaged food. So anything to really help that stay-at-home wife and the beginnings of it being normal for the wife to start working because they worked while their husbands were away. Some of them stayed in the fields and some of them went back to staying home. And so the whole baby boom thing, right? The boomers, all that stuff. So during that time, they were really looking for any way to make food faster and easier and consumable to a larger group and that it can stay longer. So they were looking for preservatives and they were looking for anything to keep that food, whether it was adding non-food ingredients and things like that to keep it longer. So that kind of evolved. And then during the next couple of decades, they just continued to create fast food, became such a bigger thing, and then mass production, and really the rise of these big brands like Nabisco and like the ones, I'm not going to try to remember who owns what right now, but like P&G and like all of these different things that own household goods or own you know, different food products and who own the chains of restaurants and things like that. Like they were really starting to gain on top, especially in America, in the United States. And so during all this time, people were not really truly noticing a huge weight gain yet, because it was still a very physical active time in our history where there wasn't a lot of like desk jobs and people got out and moved, and they didn't have, you know, cell phones, and sure there was TV, but it wasn't like there was binging Netflix or anything like that. And so people were still very much more physically active, and there wasn't as much automation in things like, you know, companies that created cans or machines or things like that, you know, where things are now done by AI and all kinds of other stuff like that, right? So as time went on and, you know, things started to evolve, the FDA and things like the food pyramid were created, and it really didn't change for several decades. Like it just didn't get updated. There wasn't a lot of thought and money in researching health and prevention. It was almost like, what's more important? Let's try to cure cancer, because people are getting cancer constantly every day, or preventing cancer. Obviously we want to prevent it, but we want to save the people that are battling it now. And so it's been this constant push-pull, and unfortunately there's always going to be people out there that are out to make money, and there's always going to be people out there that want to do the most good and make the most impact. But if they don't have money, then they're going to struggle for it. So besides all of that, really, as time changed, really in the last couple of, you know, since probably the 90s, there's been so much more reports of obesity, which is a clinical term, and people who have suffered from the comorbidities that come with obesity. And so if you look on like the top 20 causes of deaths, like obesity is not like on there, but obesity goes hand in hand, sisters, with heart disease and with diabetes and with cancers and different things like that. Now, we all know, you could be saying, Sadie, like, I know somebody that had all of those that was real thin, and they were super active, and they were super into marathons, or they ate really healthy and they did all that stuff. Well, it's not just food. It's not just weight. It's not just that. There are multiple factors that come into all of those different reasons, right? There's environmental, there's genetic, there's all these things. So keeping that in mind, that really anything can happen to anybody, regardless, but giving the fact that having more like fat and mass on your body, just puts more strain on your circulatory system, and it puts more strain on your heart, and it puts more strain on all of your organs. And I think that paradigm shift, for people to look at losing weight and being healthier, is really just about supporting your organs and supporting the functionality of our bodies during our years of activity, right? So, I mean, there's certain times where we'll meet somebody who's like 99 and they're like super active and super great. And then we meet somebody who's like 68 that's like can't move and stuck in a wheelchair and all this stuff. And so the point that I kind of make in every single episode is that we're all different. We are all our own genetic makeup. We all have our own thing going on. And so what works for one person might not work for another person. And so this dieting culture was another way for companies to make money. Like, let's capitalize on how to make money by tugging on the emotional heartstrings of these individuals and making them feel like they're less worthy if they weigh more, or that they are less worthy. They're not going to get that promotion. They're not going to have all these extra privileges and things like that. There's a term that's out there called thin privilege. And anybody who's ever been heavier will and lost weight will tell you that when they lost weight, they got so much attention and everybody started treating them different. And it was great, you know, for a time where you're like, wow, you know, people compliment me not only on the act of losing the weight, because we all know that's hard, but also just they are calling me prettier now, and they're saying things like that I never heard before when I was overweight. And that's a collective societal problem, and that we should all, you know, look at everybody as beautiful. It has nothing to do with weight. It has nothing to do with size. Like, beauty is on the inside, and we all have a different feeling of what's good looking. Like, there's people out there that, you know, I'll notice and I'm like, wow, they're really attractive. And you're like, why are they really attractive? Like, what's attractive to me is not going to be attractive to, my husband or my best friend or my children. Like, we all see things in a different light, and whatever set the tone on what we see as attractive, you know, could have been from childhood. I don't know. But, you can find beauty in anything. And, a lot of it can just come with that energy and that vibe. And when somebody is struggling deeply with confidence and with self-worth and how they feel about themselves, like, that comes across as energy. And so if you were taught at a young age that because you are overweight, you are less than, that's going to affect how you interact in the world. And you're not going to even apply or go for the job positions or the fine things in life that you want to go for, because you've already ruled it out in your head subconsciously that you're not worthy because of what you look like in your size. And that could be all different things. Like, I would think back as a kid, I'm like, man, I would never dream of wearing a baseball hat. I look so funny in them. Why did I think that? Where did that come from? Like, that was totally just made up in my head. Nobody told me I looked weird in a baseball cap. Like, I just decided that. And who do I decide? It's not my, like, I don't need to know if I don't need to think of myself as good looking. Like, I'm just the brain inside the body. Like, it's just what it is. But going back to, like, the dreadful dieting and where all that stuff came from, like, people were making money off of creating these diets, and they all stem from something that has worked for somebody. And again, just because it worked for your neighbor's, sister's, brother's, dog's, best friend's walker does not mean it's going to work for you. And so some people will have great success on keto. Other people will have great success doing shakes. Other people can be vegans or eat whatever diet that they want to. And finding the one that works for you, whether you personally want to lose weight, hopefully for your health and for your mental health and for your body and your joints and your organs and things, not for the opinions of other people, but for yourself and for your health, then you have to find that combination of food that becomes your daily diet that works for you. And so this is a trial and error process. This isn't a, you know, like, let me just Google and pay $1,000 to, you know, buy a program. Like, no, you can work with one individual if you want to. You can buy a program if you want to, but it is a trial and error, and you have to see all of it as a part of the progress. You have to see all of it as a part of your journey, and being thankful when something doesn't work, because then you're like, now I know that if I am a vegan for 6 months, I don't feel good, but I committed to it. I gave it a good solid amount of time, and I recognize what my body did. And so be proud of that and share your experience. So I hope that this, you know, encouraged you and shed some light on the differences in dieting and how you should kind of feel about it. And just remember, like, you are an individual and you get to choose whatever you want. If you don't want to lose weight, then don't. Like, that's your prerogative. It's your body. It's one of the few things that we, you know, should have control over. And what you put inside your mouth, like, is on you. So I will enjoy my lunch, as I hope you enjoy yours, and have a great day. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet, please subscribe for more and leave a review. If you got something great out of today, please share with your family and friends. And as always, please remember to consult with your primary care provider if you have any questions or concerns. This podcast is meant to be educational and based off of my experience. Have a great day. You are unique and amazing and beautiful.